At the Animal Agriculture Alliance Stakeholder Summit, I'm speaking with Dr. Frank Mittlerner, and I guess that would be the best way, I guess, to start here is, kind of give us an executive summary of the comments here. You talked about some research that you've done, which really kind of debunked some other research that's been done, essentially, in this area of climate change and causes of that.
Yes, well, on both the regional and the national international level, we often find reports and data that make us wonder. For example, in California, we were regulated when I say we, I mean the animal agricultural industry was regulated based on data from 1938. And we found out about that and questioned the validity of those data. And as a result of our research, the industry is now regulated based on real science-based data, and we helped contribute to that. I think it's very important, because if you don't have good data underlying regulation, then your regulation will have no effect, and it can be counterproductive. So on the regional and national level, that was an important finding. On the international level, there was this report titled Livestock's Long Shadow, which claimed that livestock produces more greenhouse gases than all transportation in the world, meaning cows and sheep and pigs produce more greenhouse gas than all trucks, trains, planes, ships in the world combined. What we found was that this comparison was inappropriate, because the methods to look at livestock versus transportation were different methods. And so it was an apples to oranges comparison that was appreciated by the authors of the report later.
And in fact, if you really did want to get that on an apples to apples comparison, livestock's contribution was relatively small compared to what was reported in that initial report.
Well, in the United States, just to give you some numbers, in the United States, transportation accounts for 26%, electricity production and use 31%, and livestock 3%, and that's all livestock species combined.
I thought it was interesting, you pointed out through some map graphics that we had the difference in where livestock, or the numbers of livestock are. We assume there's so much livestock here in the United States, for example, but much higher concentrations in some other countries, and you gave some good reasons for that too.
Yes, well, in countries like India or China, there's way, way more livestock than there is in the United States. The reason why the numbers are so large there is because the animals are so inefficient. So you need way more animals to produce a given amount of animal protein than we do here in the United States. For example, if you compare the United States to Mexico, it takes 5 Mexican cows to produce the same amount of milk as 1 California cow. And that means, while the 5 over there produce the same as 1 here, the 5 over there produce way more waste and enteric gases and so on compared to the 1 cow here. And so if the goal is to produce a certain amount of animal protein, then the other goal should be to do so with as few animals as possible, to be resource mindful, because we don't have endless resources. In fact, we are very limited for resources. We are currently assuming that we have 7 billion people in the world. In 30 years, we will have 9.3 billion people in the world. But the amount of land we have to grow food for these people will not increase from what we have currently. So we have to become more efficient, better in what we do currently in order to feed these people.
Where could people go to find or see some of the information that you've been able to put together? Because I think that there certainly is a lot of misunderstanding out in the general public about what some of the true facts are, and there's a lot of reasons why that's come about, but really pointing them and trying to get them there is what we hope to accomplish.
Well, one thing is clear. If you Google my name, you'll find a lot of articles, but my name is very difficult. So it's easier to Google Miles versus Meat or Meat versus Miles, a very good article authored by the Columbia Journalism Review. If you want a scientific journal article that really explains the whole thing, that article is called Clearing the Air, Livestock's Contribution to Climate Change, and that's also available on the web, and that really tells the whole story in detail.
Wonderful. We'll definitely point people there, and I really do appreciate you speaking with us here at the conference. Anything else for this audience, for those who are involved in the animal ag industry that you might want to say we didn't touch on?
Well, I think that animal agriculture has to do a much better job in communicating with the public where food comes from and how it's raised. The public oftentimes assumes that something is wrong because animal agriculture is almost perceived as being secretive. And it's not that they want to be secretive about how they produce food, but they just say, well, we know how to produce food, let us do our business. The public now wants to know how it's done. And it behooves the producers to open doors and take the guts it takes to really take people out and show them what's being done, because they have nothing to be ashamed of. But the opposite is true, and they have a lot to be proud of. And I think today many entities in the world, agencies like the FAO and others, say that what we do here is a model for the rest of the world. We now have to do a good and much better job in explaining that to our public here.
Very, very well said, and I hope part of what everybody's going to come away from here with, the different organizations that make up this alliance. Thank you again. Here at the Animal Agriculture Alliance Summit, I'm Chuck Zimmerman.